In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. As always, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we cry out to Mary in the Hail, Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to pray with us, and to pray for us. As we pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and the prayer that Mary loves most is the Hail Mary. And with the Hail Mary, of course, the Most Holy Rosary. Let's turn to Mary and beg for her grace, for her help, as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's turn now to our spiritual director and beg our spiritual director to help us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many different titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. He makes us holy. The Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler in the midst of our tribulations and struggles. The Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. He who gives us a lot of good advice is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also our interior master or teacher. As St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But good news is with the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives and to give us a lot of light in our intellect. And to set our hearts on fire with love for God as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Paul the Cross, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. As always, I would like to encourage you, because in my Mass today, I'll be placing you on the altar with all of your intentions. But I'd like to offer these three specific intentions which are common to our conversation. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be docile, open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Docile, open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit of God. May this be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that all of us will strive on a daily basis to be the best of teachers. We as priests were called to pray and to preach. Two of our principal obligations is to pray for the people of God, but also to preach. St. Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach, because faith comes through hearing. And hearing comes through preaching. I'd like to pray also that all of you would become the best of teachers to your children and your grandchildren. This how true it is, one of the best ways for us to grow in our faith is to share our faith with others. How true. If we want to grow in our faith, then we should try to share our faith with others. Sharing of our faith, how important that is. My last intention will be I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. That's a very general statement, because we're all sinners. But I'd like to pray in a special way for the conversion of deathbed sinners. Let's pray for those who are dying this very day that have maybe given in to despair and lost all hope in God's mercy and love, that they will open up their hearts to the love of God and beg for mercy and be saved. Many souls will be prayed, will be saved by fervent prayer warriors, and we're trying to become that. So, those are our prayers, my friends, that we'll place on the altar in the Mass. Today the readings were following up on the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. And the Word of God says, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. He mentions Father and family. Let's take that as a means to pray for the sake of families. Let's pray for the family. There are three perfect families. And they are the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is family because the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. And there is another perfect family, and that is the Holy Family. The Holy Family consists of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. You might be wondering, well, what is the third perfect family, Father Broome? And I'll tell you. The third perfect family is where we're all heading, through God's grace, and that is heaven. Heaven is a perfect family. So let's just speak briefly about the Father of the family. Over the past few years, there have been studies and teachings and preachings on what is called the Father Wound. Especially the movie The Case for Christ, we have a scene where the woman says he has a father's wound. I think we all do in one way or another. Maybe some have a gaping wound, others maybe have a smaller wound. But I'd like to talk in a positive vein today. What are the qualities of a good father? Which will help to form good families. When I officiate at marriages, and I have many over my years as a priest, in my homily, I'll sometimes give a summary of one of the literary works of Fulton Sheen. And that would be, it takes three to get married. The man, the woman, and Christ. So taking that as a cue, form a good family, the man has to have a great love for God. And he has to take God the Father as his model and example. So true father of the family has to have a great, dear love for the eternal Father, and to be able to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it and mean it. True, there are many father wounds. There's a lot of jargon, too. Father wound, the concept of the absent father, the machoistic father, Adrian Rogers, the dropout dad. Many different ways of depicting some of the failures of the father. I'd like to tell you an anecdote, a story that impresses me very much. And this is the story of something that happened probably about 90 years ago. There was a boy that suffered very much in his life. One of his sufferings was that this boy, he lost his mother when he was about 9 years of age. He lost his older brother, too. His sister died before he was born. So he simply went through a lot of suffering in his life. So he was left alone by his father, with his father. And living in a very modest household, the father was a retired army officer. The boy would sometimes wake up at night and he would see that his father was kneeling down in the early hours of the morning or the late hours of night, with the moon shining on his father. And he was very, very impressed by the fervor of his father. And after his father lost his wife, he became all the more prayerful, all the more fervent in his life. Then, their country was war-stricken. His father died when he was only about 20 years of age. This boy had to decide whether or not he was going to become a teacher, a writer, an actor. But he decided that he'd become a father, a priest. He was very much inspired by Father Maximilian Kolbe. This boy who decided to become a father was ordained in a hidden way by Bishop Adam Sapieha, was a clandestine ordination because the communists where he lived would not allow it. This priest went on to become archbishop, and in October 16th, 1978, he opened up the doors, the windows to the Vatican, and his name is John Paul II. We call him Holy Father. We call him the Holy Father. And he went on to become one of the greatest spiritual fathers in the history of the world. Even though he lost his mother when he was young, and he lost his father when he was relatively young also, these parents of the young Carol instilled within him very strong roots from which his spiritual life grew and flourished to the max. How important it is, my friends, our spiritual life, having a good father figure. So when young Carol was brought up and raised, his father would eat with him, talk with him, encourage him, pray with him, accompany him to soccer games, pray for him. The life of the elderly Wartila was the life of his son, who would go on to become one of the greatest men who ever lived in the world. So that would be one quality of the formation of a good earthly father. Second quality. By means of another story. This story came out probably about 25 years ago in the National Catholic Register. Story this couple that invited a priest to have dinner with them. So the priest knew the husband, but he didn't know the wife, but he heard a lot of good things about her. So the priest didn't have his car in service, so the man had to pick him up at his house at his rectory. So the priest got in the car next to the man, and they had to drive a few minutes to get to their house. But on the way, this man, the husband, was praising his wife. Praising his wife to the skies. "Father," he said to the priest, I have the best wife in the world. He went on to say, "I've got the most kind, loving, sacrificial, tender, humble, loving wife in the whole world." In other words, this man was praising his wife to the skies. So they finally arrived at the house, and the priest was very interested in meeting the wife of this man who praised his wife so much. The priest was accustomed to having often criticism more than praise in marriage counseling. So the husband rang the doorbell, and the wife opened up the door. And the priest was aghast, shocked, astonished, because the woman that opened up the door, the wife, the right side of her face had a huge scar from the temple all the way down to the chin. So she warmly greeted the priest, then they sat down at table, there at the table was the husband sitting next to his loving wife, but also there was a little child, a little girl who was about 6 years old. Maybe six and a half. During the time at the table, the conversation was wonderful. The conversation was wonderful. But what impressed the priest most was the obvious love that the husband had for his wife as well as for his child. And it was just compliment after compliment after compliment, humorous stories, such that the priest was just dumbfounded at the overflowing love the overflowing love that the husband showed for his wife with the obvious facial deformation that the woman had couldn't be denied. After dessert and after the meal was finished, the priest said farewell to the wife as well as the child as the father, husband took him back to the rectory. But on his way back, the priest could not resist. So he asked the husband, the father, said, you know, can you tell me what happened to your wife's face? He said this, father. About 6 years ago, our house caught on fire. Our house caught on fire. And the fire was present in the room where we had our little daughter who was only but 6 months old. Her bassinet as well as the covers were on fire, and my wife ran into the room, grabbed onto the blanket where my daughter was, and the fire burnt the whole side of her face from her temple all the way down to her jaw. For that reason, Father, I have the most beautiful wife in the world. For that reason, Father, that's why I have the most beautiful wife in the world. That's why today we celebrate St. Paul of the Cross, another spiritual father that emphasized the importance of the cross in our lives. So following up on this story and following up on St. Paul who speaks, I kneel before the Father for whom every family in heaven and earth is named. When I'm doing weddings, I will sometimes tell that story. I'll sometimes tell that story which shocks and moves the people. But it's a good one. After telling that story and reading the Gospel of St. Matthew, where Jesus speaks about the greatest of all commandments is love, love of God and love of neighbor, I'll tell the couple that I'm marrying, about to marry in the wedding, and I'll ask them this question. Do you know what love is? Love is not simply feeling or emotion or sentiment. It's not as simply a feeling, an emotion, a sentiment. Rather, love is seen by contemplating Jesus on the cross. In the wedding, I will often point to the cross on the wall as we celebrate St. Paul of the Cross, very appropriate. Love is a willingness to contemplate Christ on the cross. But love is also a willingness to suffer and even to die for the loved one. Love is willingness to suffer and die for the loved one. Now I'd like to finish up on that story. One last idea in that story. We're talking, my friends, about St. Paul speaks about the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And I'm trying to develop a theme on the importance of fatherhood, father's wound, who a father is, what are good fathers, where do good fathers come from. Trying to develop this theme because it's a very important theme. Now this man, who married a woman who gave her life for her daughter, sacrificed her life, and sacrificed also, which for most women is one of the most important things, is their physical beauty. She sacrificed her physical beauty for the salvation of her daughter. Now, this husband, this father, was relatively young. What some young men would do is if they were to have lost the beauty of their wife, as was the case in this story I've just told you, often what they would do is decide to leave their wife and to search for a younger, more beautiful woman. This is common. Men, sometimes they marry. Their wife has 3, 4, 5 children. And she loses the beauty that maybe she had when she was 20 years of age. Through age and childbearing and weathering, we all get old and we kind of like the flower of the field that we wilt. We lose our pristine beauty. It happens. It's part of aging. But not the case with this man. Rather, he was like Mary standing at the foot of the cross. It's opportune that I just repeat vows that many of you have taken on your wedding day, in which you promised, to be faithful in good times as well as bad, in health as well as in sickness, in riches as well as in poverty. until death do you part. Those are the solemn vows and promises that you make when you get married, and then you place the ring on the finger of your spouse-to-be. Well, right in that moment, you're conferring the sacramental grace of marriage, because marriage is conferred by the mutual commitment of both the two fiancés who become spouses in that moment. How many horror stories I hear when women tell me, well, my husband got up and he went off to follow and live with the secretary, leaving four children. I mean, how many times have I heard that, these horror stories of unfaithfulness, which men are doing the exact opposite of what this man did for his wife. Doing the exact opposite of what this man did for his wife. My friends, I think we have to stop, look at ourselves, and ask ourselves, how faithful are we to the Lord? How faithful are we to the promises that we've made? If we failed, are we willing to get up? The famous Nunc Cepi of Father Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Living out the parable of the prodigal son, we fall, but we get up. We have to get up and return to the embrace of the loving Father. I thought that you'd like that story that I told you. It's a real story that came out in the National Catholic Register, maybe about 25 to 30 years ago, I don't remember, but a very good story that I'll sometimes tell in weddings, shocking everyone with that story, but it's a good one. So husband should be willing to die for the wife, and the wife should be willing to die for the husband, and the two should be willing to die for their children. Let me tell you another story. My friends, if you're just tuning in, I'm developing my talk on St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verse 3:14, where Paul says, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self. But I'm expounding especially upon the whole idea of father and fatherhood. So the first sign or element of a good father is the father has to have a good relationship to his Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Trying to develop a deep, tender relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he's called to radiate this same fatherhood in his own family. Then the second quality Second quality of a true father is the love that he shows for his children. But this is the order, my friends. I think there's sometimes confusion on the hierarchy, the order that should be established. True father should have a good relationship with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then second should be his relationship and love for his wife. His wife should come second. As we see in this story, the man who did not give up his wife, even though his wife had lost her physical beauty. Now the third would be the following. This story also came out in the National Catholic Register about 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, and I'll be getting some of the details wrong. I'll try to do the best I can. It's a story of a good Catholic father who had many children. Eventually, one of his children would go on to become a priest. And this is the story. I think the father and his wife had probably good at least 10 children. And the father lived on a farm. And this father had great devotion to Mary. Once a year he would invite many, many families to his home, his family, to honor Mary by praying the rosary. They knew a lot of people. They brought a lot of good Catholic families to honor Mary by praying the rosary. He owned a big plot of land, a big farm. One of his sons, who he had a very special love for, One of his sons with a very special love for was he had Down syndrome. And at times he would wander through the field and sometimes even get lost. So this is what happened. And by this story, you're going to see another quality of a true father, of a courageous father, of a loving father, of an exemplary father. So on occasion, the father could not find his son who had Downs. So the father went in pursuit of his son. Well, let me tell you now, very graphic and very strong, but it's to illustrate the point of really what it means to be a true father. On the grounds, On this farm, there was a septic tank. A big size septic tank. So what happened was the father was looking for his Downs son, and he was walking through the field near the septic tank and heard someone crying out. What happened was his Downs son slipped and he fell into this septic tank, which is like a little pool with human excrement. So what happened was his son fell in and was drowning. So the father actually, he dived into it. And he pushed his Downs son out of the hole of the septic tank, but he himself, in the process, he slipped and he actually drowned in the septic tank. Talk about a story of heroism. Talk about a story of heroism. There you have it. As in the prior story, the mother gave up her.
I found this on the web for the prior story of the mother. Check it out.
As in the prior story, in which the mother sacrificed her life for her daughter, her facial beauty, in the case of this father, not only did he sacrifice his health, but he sacrificed his very life. For the life, for the sake of his son. So one of his other sons that sacrificed his life for God as a priest. He used the story of his father. He used the story of his father in the, I think it was the first homily mass that he gave as a newly ordained priest. This is probably 25 years ago. So my friends in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I feel that the topic that I've addressed today in our Perseverant Family is very important. Very, very important. Extremely important. I believe it to be very, very important for you and for me and for the sake of the family itself. Very important. And what I've done is I've told you this very, very, quite a few stories I told you the story of John Paul II and the love that his father had for him. I've told you the story briefly of Kolbe and his influence on John Paul II. I've told you about the spiritual paternity of John Paul II. I've told you about this story of a father that was willing to stay with his wife after her great sacrifice. I've told you the story of this man who's dying so as to give his life for his down son. These are all stories highlighting, my friends, the real importance of the father figure, as well as the father wound that we mention. So I'd really like to invite all of you to make a fervent prayer today. Make a fervent prayer today for families, for fathers. Sister Lucia, whose cause for beatification is on the way, said this, Sister Lucia Fatima, given that we're in the month of the Rosary. Sister Lucia says, the final battle, my friends, the final battle will be a battle over the family. And the father is a key figure, as well as the father who's a priest. So I hope that this conversation has been helpful for all of us today to try to cultivate true paternity. And all that flows from, as St. Paul says, I'll kneel before the Father for whom every family in heaven and earth is named. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.